listen. Do you want to know a secret? Do you promise not to tell?
Whoa, I know you get loud. I've heard you.
It's so untrue.
I heard lies, you loudly say things about those children that upset their parents. And it made their parents walk away.
I said that their ice skating children look like drunk assholes.
And it's true. They actually were. Hello, and welcome to episode 21 of Kiss and Tell. And that lady voice you heard, probably the first lady voice. No, we've had other lady voices. But this is a solo lady voice, and this lady voice belongs to Micah Paredes.
Hello.
Hello. Are you going to talk that loud? Or are you gonna
I'm going to talk louder.
You're going to talk really loud.
I've got to shout.
Yeah, look at that waveform. You can see where you just gave it a little gusto. And Micah is my co-host this week. Mare is, hundreds of thousands of miles away in Seattle. And we're in Portland in Micah's apartment where she's been keeping me like a pet. She lets me stay here as long as I keep my little palate clean. And she fills my food and water dish. We also have the first time we have an audience for Kiss and Tell, and it's Phil, and he's in the corner, and he's going to be real quiet. But Phil's usually pretty quiet, so I don't think there's going to be any troubles at all. So we're going to kind of wing it a little bit here in Portland, Oregon, and since Micah is the co-host, I'm going to make her read the secrets. So let's go.
Okay. Sometimes I masturbate over pictures of girls on my Facebook friends list. I later feel awkward, and when I see them in person, I feel even worse. But I just can't stop.
So, Micah, do you ever masturbate looking at Facebook?
Not usually.
I feel like there's a lot of sites on the internet that are dedicated, even tailored, custom tailor-made for that activity.
I think you're right.
Although I don't know, and so I have never. I don't use Facebook, and if I did, I don't think I would masturbate to it. Although, if I had to guess, I would guess that someone has masturbated to your picture on Facebook.
Mine?
Yeah.
I would say yes.
How does that make you feel?
Really great. I would think that this guy that I call Beetlejuice, that's also a friend of mine on Facebook, probably does.
Do you think that what percentage of the people who are your friend on Facebook do you think masturbate?
I would say probably about 70%, because about 80% of them I don't know.
Total creepers? I was a little remiss in the introduction. Micah is basically world famous.
No, that's not
she's
true.
She's famous and sexy, and she's all over the place. And I don't even – why would I even bother introducing her? Because you probably already know who she is. You're probably masturbating to a picture. Right now. But she is the sous chef at Beast here in Portland, and she's a big shot. So there's something I do like about this a little bit. And I think – And I'll try to frame it just right. But it's the difference, aside from like the creepy stalking weirdo part of it, that part aside, there's the part that's like, at least this guy is masturbating to real people.
That's true.
He's not masturbating to like airbrush photos. It's the difference between, you know, like I don't know. I feel like there's a difference in dedication and imagination when you're dealing with, even when I was a kid, when it was like Playboy versus like the Sears lingerie catalog. The right. Lingerie catalog was a little more real, took a little more imagination. Or even, you know, even in life when you just see a pretty girl and then, later she makes a guest appearance in a fantasy, that's more real. So something about it, you know, at least he's picking real people to masturbate to.
Do you think that's better?
I think... Okay, the fact that they're people that he knows and it's kind of creepy, that's not good. But the part where he's like, you know, shoving aside, I assume it's a he, is shoving aside like the airbrushed Playboy, you know, super made up photo shoot kind of thing and going for real life. Because I feel like there's for people like myself raised on internet pornography, it messes you up.
I agree.
And I think... You get out of touch with what the reality of a person's body is if you haven't been around one.
I've been victim to this.
Yeah, it's bad news. And so I think it's at least this guy is choosing real people. That said, I would probably guess that a lot of ladies would not be terribly comfortable with the fact that you were masturbating over them. Although I do feel like it kind of gives you an edge when you meet them later. Like, so, okay, there's a Robin Luke song, and it's called You Can't Stop Me From Dreamin'. And okay. It's the whole thing is he's singing to this girl, and he's the whole premise of the song is, you know, you can shut me down, you can, you know, be mean to me, you can do whatever, it doesn't matter because you can't stop me from dreaming. And I think what he was actually saying is you can't stop me from masturbating to pictures of you on Facebook.
I think that's exactly what
and
he's
I think
saying.
You know, maybe that's a little nice. You're not letting the world discourage you.
Keeping the dream alive.
Yeah, and one other angle in your potential defense. I know that I have a problem, and this is, I haven't found an outlet for masturbating on Facebook, but it's hard for me to be just attracted just, you know, just looks-wise. Okay. Like, it's not, just pictures aren't usually super sexy, like, without some personality or something to attach to it. So at least, like, that's maybe okay. And certainly, like, in high school, you know, it's totally normal to think of your crush while you're taking care of business. But there's something about this that gets, are you think that's funny?
TCB.
Can I just confess right now that I was so paranoid that I was the only person at Emerald High School that masturbated and that nobody else ever did, and that I was going to be caught and that it was going to be shown on the TVs that they show Channel 1.
Oh, I know.
Like somehow this would happen. So,
wow.
So that added to the thrill. That added a little bit of a thrill. So I'm not going to condone this because, again, I think a lot of people would be uncomfortable, but, you know, I can kind of see where you're going. Mitch, what do you think about this?
Well, it's sometimes. I think moderation on occasion.
So not
sometimes
every time
you need
he
some
looks
reality.
At, yeah. Not every time he looks at Facebook.
Yeah.
At
I
work.
Mean, like, I don't know. I mean, my grandmother's on Facebook. You know?
What are you trying to say?
This is weird. I don't want to masturbating to my grandmother if he's like one of my friends on Facebook.
What a creeper. You think that this guy, hey, leave Micah's grandmother out of this.
Yeah, she's
whoever
a
else,
nice lady.
If you want to masturbate looking at pictures of Micah, that's fine. And in fact, I encourage all of you to do so. It's easy to find pictures of her. It's no problem. So go ahead and do that. And I almost said send in an email when you're done, but maybe don't. Maybe just keep that as a little private secret for yourself.
Let's
go to the next one.
I hate doing the crossword puzzle with my lonely 90-year-old grandma, so I look up the solution to the day's puzzle beforehand to get it over with ASAP. Once I'm with her, she thinks I'm a trivia genius.
This is the best and worst thing I've ever heard in my life. And so, okay, speaking of nannies, nanas, yeah. This person, for some reason, I think this is a girl. I don't think it says, but I get the feeling. Mainly, I don't know, maybe I'm slightly biased because I think that only a girl could be this horrible, but but that's just me. So that's intense.
I think it's probably a dude just by the fact that, like, I don't know, I enjoy hanging out with my grandmother, but that usually consists of smoking cigarettes and drinking Coca-Cola and watching The Wheel of Fortune.
The Wheel of Fortune?
The Wheel of Fortune.
Am I correct in remembering that your grandparents have some kind of Coca-Cola memorabilia collection?
They have a room solely dedicated to Coca-Cola paraphernalia and memorabilia.
So there's no reason to even bother with a crossword puzzle unless it was like some special commemorative Coca-Cola crossword puzzle from 1957.
Exactly.
I struggle with grandma time.
Okay.
I think everybody does. I think I have two grandmothers, and, you know, I love them both. They're my grandmas. I have to say that quality time with each of them is different, just like it's different with any person. But one of my grandmothers pretty much always talks about death. And it gets a little glum
okay.
around that particular grandmother. Well, my other grandmother talks about the weather.
Yeah.
Which is a grandma thing. So, I don't know. I'm pretty close with particularly one grandmother I even lived with for a while, and she talks to me on the computer. They both do it, in fact. So, I don't mind it so much. I think the trick is I can see if you go into it thinking that it's a chore and you're like, I got to get out of this. I got to get in. I got to get out. I'll do anything to make it shorter. And then you end up making your grandma think you're a quiz kid, and which is really funny.
I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. I would say the thing about your 90-year-old grandma is she might seem boring, but the fact is she's been here for 90 years. She's been on Earth for 90 years. She's seen so much crazy nonsense that it probably just doesn't – nothing even phases her anymore. And I bet that if you kind of got it out of her, she could tell you insane things. Like – What person is better equipped to tell you just crazy, crazy stuff than a person who's been on the planet for 90 years?
It's true.
So I think as much as I think this is clever and pretty funny, I think that you should try... Why don't you try actually talking to her a little bit? Because that means... That's crazy. That's like a world war and some parts of some depression and some baby boom and some Korean War and Vietnam. Like, your grandma's seen some... Your grandma's seen it go down. I think you need to talk to her. Mitchell, what do you think about grandmas?
I love my grandmas. I have three, actually. I have a step-grandma in the mix. And all of them are pretty awesome. And once I get to talking to my grandmother recently, you know, we never really had much to say, but we now chit-chat all the time, you know, because of Facebook. And she owns an iPhone and whatever. But she tells me a lot of things. And she uses, like, kid lingo, and we relate all the time. The other day she was saying the phrase cray-cray.
That is...
She's pretty awesome.
Your grandma's pretty funny. You've shared with me some comments that she's contributed to Facebook. Grandmas are cool, man. I think you just need to get to know your grandma a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, what's next?
Okay. Do you believe in alternate dimensions? In college, a female friend asked to see my penis out of the blue, then started kissing her way down my chest. I'm very ticklish, and when she reached my tummy, I started giggling. She then left my apartment, and it never happened again. Did I actually get a blowjob in an alternate universe?
Yes, definitely.
Probably.
No, I would say for sure. So, mystery blowjob. Weird stuff happens sometimes, especially, I mean, dorm room, college, is that what I'm... Yeah, this stuff... Crazy things will happen. You know, you're looking to experiment. Girls are looking to experiment. Like, stuff will happen. And sometimes they'll tickle your tummy a little bit. that'll happen too. I think Mitch needs to be closer to the microphone. And I think
Scott was trying to push me to the microphone.
Whoa. In an inappropriate way. That had nothing to do with the question. I was just trying to push you closer to the microphone. Okay. So here's what I think about this. And I'm going to get a little... I'm going to go on a tangent, but I'll try to bring it back around. I think a lot about alternate dimensions. And there's a particular theory involved with quantum physics called the many worlds interpretation. And basically what it involves is that everything that can happen does happen. And like when you flip a coin and it lands, it's both heads and tails, and two realities split off in different directions. And that happens for everything. So every conceivable thing is always splitting off into these different directions. And it's super cool and it's interesting. And I recently had a stupid breakthrough where I realized that when you're watching movies and the hero never gets hit with a bullet, it's because of the many worlds theory. There's all these other worlds where he's getting shot on like the first bullet. But you're watching a movie that's depicting just this perfect trajectory through the many worlds. So... According to that interpretation of quantum physics, this very precise scientific framework, you have gotten a blowjob from everyone. Every single person on Earth, living, dead, ghost, alien, ectoplasm, it doesn't matter. Because in the multiverse, all things have happened. Take a minute to think about that. And I think Facebook guy earlier should think about that too, because he's gotten a blowjob from every single girl he's seen on Facebook and every dude and every grandma. So I don't know what else to say. Mitchell, what do you have?
I'm sorry. I'm just too busy getting a blowjob right now.
Are you kidding? You and the microphone are getting pretty close. What else is there to say? I mean, you know, on the one hand, you've got even if you came away disappointed from this, you've got a story that you can tell people. You've got a brush with the multiverse that you can share for the rest of your life. Had it been a blowjob, you wouldn't be writing into us. We wouldn't be talking about this right now. True. We're only talking about this because you're like a time traveler through dimensions. And I'm pretty impressed with that.
Yes. Is that Carl Sagan?
Yeah. I learned the infinite blowjob theory is from Carl Sagan. What is next?
I have no idea to be really good at sex. I'm a girl. I want to blow his/her mind. Fortunately, I'm only 15, so I don't need to worry about it for at least a year. I just want to make my special person, when I get one, feel the specialist. Any tips?
Did you know that there was an age limit? Like a cut? Like
you'd only get until you're 16 to really master the art of sex, I guess. Okay. Yay.
I don't know if Micah's trying to tell you that you should already be having sex. I think you got all the time you need, personally. So here's two things I think I need to tell you. Maybe three. I think the first thing I need to tell you is that your first time will probably be awkward and ridiculous. And your first time is probably not going to be like a mind-blowing experience. If it is, that's awesome. Good luck. But if you're expecting that, I think you're maybe setting up for disappointment. I think I talked about my first time on the show before where I basically had a fruit roll-up for a condom and 12 Monkeys was playing and it was not a magic moment. So that's one thing. Like, it's a big deal. It's cool. It's going to be awesome. But don't build it up so much that if things don't go perfectly, that you're going to be disappointed or angry or disappointed in the other person or whatever. Because probably also if the guy is 16, he's probably not going to be a pro either. And that's just how it goes. As far as how you be good at it, the number one, like, I don't know. There's skills you can try to master. You can try to read books and watch porn and all that. But I think if you want to be good at sex, the most important thing to be is confident. And that's like goes with almost anything in life. But if you just get in there and act like you know what you're doing, even if you don't really know what you're doing, it's going to seem sexy. Like it's going to be fine. Like, and it will probably make, you know, the dude feel more secure and get him more into it. Like that's, if you're not both into it, or if it's like you're trying to put on a show, maybe you get off on that. But I think don't worry about it so much. I don't think you need to be mind blowing on your first time. Wait till, you know, at least your third. By your third, you should be a pro. And if you're not, if you're doing it wrong.
Oh, man.
Do you have any tips, Mitchell?
I don't know. I think it's like tennis. If like you also have a bad partner, you know, like you're going to be, you're almost as bad as them.
No, that's, you know? Totally. That's a great point.
And so I don't know. 15? I don't know who in... Who is good at 15?
Yeah, you don't need to worry about it so much.
I was doing that thing at 15, and it was awful.
You're going to get better at it. And the tennis thing, that totally works. But I think there's a kind of person, and I don't want to go down the two kinds of people route, but there is a kind of person for whom giving pleasure is really what they get out of sex. And I think I kind of fall in that category. Like, I usually am much more into what I can do other, you know, instead of what's done for me. And it sounds like you're kind of that person. Like you're someone who really is excited by the idea of giving pleasure. So if you're dealing with a 16-year-old boy, just touch his penis. I think that's got you covered. Like, yeah. I don't think you don't need rose petals and soft music and incense. You just need to just touch his wiener. And I think you probably can do it through his pants. Like, I think you're going to be okay. The expectations are pretty low for high school kids. So I think you're going to be fine. I think, I don't know, like there's always the question of for your first time, whether it's better to lose your virginity to someone who's also losing their virginity, so you're both kind of in it, or if you want to lose your virginity to someone more experienced. It kind of goes one way or the other. I think if you're just really set on having a super mind-blowing experience, which is, again, not the best thing to expect, you might fare better with someone who has some experience, although it's probably going to be that they're doing they're doing the great job and you're kind of along for the ride. But don't worry about it. Like it sounds like you're ready to wait for the right person and, you know, not going to rush into it. Just let things go their course. It will probably be ridiculous. Like something absurd will happen. Micah told me a story tonight about a girl who had sex with a guy and peed all over him and thought she was having an orgasm. So these things happen.
Yes. And
yeah. So don't worry too much about it. I think you're going to be fine. If you want to, you know, you can try to read some books. You can try to watch some porn. So speaking again of like porn-saturated high school kids, yeah. If you do anything that he's seen in porn, you're probably going to be okay. Like he's probably going to have his mind blown. So, you know, and if you want some, I don't know, where do you go? Like, Sasha Gray, I think she's retired now, but I have heard that her performance is very inspiring. So maybe check her out. I think she's an enthusiastic performer. Although some people, I don't know, like, again, back to the preference thing, there's some dudes that are just going to kind of want you to lay there and take it. You know, like it's so much about, like Micah said, it's a partner thing. So don't worry too much about it. I think if you, tips are not the way to go. I think if you go in with a checklist, you're going to lose your checklist or get something on it, or it's going to be gross. So
yeah.
Anything else about this, Mitchell?
I just want to stop thinking about having sex when I was 15.
See, yeah, don't wait. Wait plenty of time. Yeah. I did it when I was 17. And again, it was ridiculous, which now it's kind of funny to look back on. But at the time it was kind of like, huh, that was losing my virginity. Little anticlimactic.
Yeah.
So yeah, don't worry about it too much. You're going to be fine. You're doing good. What is next?
I honestly don't get what it means to be in an adult relationship. Does it mean that little things don't matter anymore? Or does it mean that you're just past the honeymoon stage in the relationship? I don't get it. Oh, good.
Oh, yeah. That's tricky. I don't think anyone knows, especially adults. Okay. I have moved to the Hobbit reckoning of age, which means I'm not an adult until age 33. So I've got, I turn 32 this week. And then I've got a whole nother year of basically childhood, carefree childhood. Yep. So I don't really know what it's like to be an adult because I'm just a boy. however, I've been involved in some relationships that have encroached on adult territory. And it's not, there's no rules. It's difficult. I think you do kind of hit it with the honeymoon stage thing. And that is the hardest, in my mind, one of the hardest things people have to understand is that falling in love is just the first part, you know, like that process, that butterflies and all that stuff is the initial honeymoon stage. And it changes after that. And that doesn't mean it's better or worse. It's just a new game. And I have recommended the book before, Conditions of Love, that I think really tackles from all angles what it is to have a real relationship. But, it's also one of those things in life that I don't think you really figure out. And you kind of learn by doing, you know, you have to kind of experience it. And I think, you know, it's not that little things don't matter anymore. I think selfishness kind of starts to go away. But I think that just happens as you get, you know, that's part of adulthood, is just being a little less selfish in everything you think and do. I think I don't sweat it too much that you don't feel like you know about it. If you want to read that book, I think it is really good. Other than that, I think you just kind of learn as you go. Mitchell, what do you say?
I don't know. I feel like I've only been in adult relationships
since childhood.
Yeah, basically. And so, I don't know. They are hard. And sometimes, like, there is no honeymoon stage. It's just straight up. I prefer, like, the reality of a relationship rather than, like, this fantasy time.
Yeah, for sure. Which is that's usually what kind of the honeymoon stage is. You just don't know the person yet.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know.
I think.
That seems more, that's scary. That's a scary part for me. Like, because you're like, oh, I like this person. And then, like, you don't know where it's going. But then once it gets there where it's, like, solidified and you're in this real relationship, that's the fun part. But, like.
Yeah, that's the real deal. And I think that's one of the things the book goes into is, like, you know, what it means and how much work it really is. And it's not that little things don't matter, because you'll probably still have fights and have differences. But I think my take on an adult relationship is that it is a lot of work, but things that you work really hard for become valuable. Like, it's this cyclical thing, you know? And then because it's valuable because you put work into it, and you put work into it because it has value. So I think it feeds off, but, I don't think anyone knows. And I think there's lots of books and lots of nonsense about it. But Conditions of Love, I think, was is the best one I have read. What is next, Mitchell?
I think we should probably talk about the fact that we've known each other for a long time. And that I'm not just like someone that's
some,
like,
guy that I met?
Yeah. And why he calls me Mitchell. And we've known each other for how many years now?
I don't know. Some decade and some change, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we've lived together.
So maybe I should say, we're so far past our honeymoon stage.
Yeah, way past.
Yeah, like, I met Mitchell about a decade ago.
I was 17 years old.
About a time ago, she was just a child.
In an adult relationship.
In an adult relationship.
Living on my lonesome.
Yeah, with Madeline Minster, who I think I've mentioned on the show before, and who was a pal, and I used to work with him, and I really loved those kids. And they would come visit me in Austin and things like that, and eventually I don't even know why they put up with me for so long, but they moved to Minneapolis for a while and they let me come be their pet there. And I lived with them in Minneapolis. It was me and three cats, and they basically took care of the four of us.
It's true.
But it worked out actually pretty well because Madeline would work during the day, so I'd hang out with Micah. And during the evening, Micah would go to school, so I'd hang out with Madeline. So we had this kind of shift.
Yes.
Shift thing going. And yeah, so I lived in Minneapolis. We hung out in Amarillo. Didn't talk to 5E for 5 years. Then yes. Micah showed up 2 years ago and kidnapped me. And that's how it goes. Yep. I've known this kid for a long time. And I call her Mitchell.
It was from
Ill Mitch, I think, is maybe where it started. When years and years ago, there was some Russian rapper named Ill Mitch that I found on the internet. And I do know at one point, Micah was furious with me while we lived in Minneapolis. And the way that I calmed that storm, speaking of handling things like an adult, the way I smoothed that over was I sent a picture of Ill Mitch to her via email and said, "This is you."
And I was in the other room.
And she was in the other room. And we were in the same house. We hadn't spoken for a day or two. And that's how I solved it. So if you want to talk to like a relationship pro or like a people pro, that's me.
It worked.
Talk to, 23, 24 at the time?
Something.
That's how you handle things like an adult. You send emails to someone who's in another room.
Okay,
next.
I have a bad superiority complex toward essentially everyone I meet in the meat space. I live in an area full of military/manual laborers, and I feel there is no one with the same creative mind and ambition as I have. I'm afraid I'll never find a scene of cool and intelligent friends to bond with outside of the internet because I'm begrudgingly uninterested in anyone with an ambitious goal or desire to be more than what they feel they have to be.
Okay, so the thing about this email... Okay, first I want to say is probably... It's probably not an exaggeration to say that 50% of the secrets people send in are really sad, like how they're lonely or they feel like they won't amount to anything. And I want to know, like, I read all of those, and if it helps you to get off your chest, that's awesome. I usually don't read those because we've read quite a few of them and we're always kind of looking for new territory. And but it's sad. Like, lots of people like feel that people don't like them. And if I had to say it in a word, I'd say that all these people, you know, it'd be easy to say they have some kind of inferiority complex. This is the first person who's written in talking about how great they are and how they have a superiority complex, which is pretty awesome. So that's lovely. As far as, you know, I grew up in a pretty similar sitch. Like, Amarillo, Texas was not a font of culture and intellectual discourse with my peers. I think that, and that's, you know, I came of age kind of first when the internet was a real thing that you could do. And I met people, and that's how I talked to people. And most of my friends, people that I considered friends, a lot of them I'd never even met in real life. I think as time progressed, there's two things I figured out about that. One, I don't know how old you are. I kind of get the feeling that you're maybe young and you haven't had a chance in your life to choose where you live. One day you'll have that choice. Like, you can just go wherever you want. You can go to Portland, or you can go to San Francisco or New York or Paris or somewhere that you have an image of your head of there being, you know, cool, interesting people. The problem is that's somewhat of an illusion. Like, you know, there's pretty cool, interesting people everywhere. And a lot of the cities that are kind of touted as those kinds of places also come with a lot of other nonsense, and the cool people aren't maybe as cool as you might think. I don't think you need to worry about it. Like, you will have a point where you can do that. The thing that I want to caution you about, and it's a little tricky, is you're setting yourself up for this. It sounds like you're setting yourself up for the situation where you don't want to deal with people. Like, you just, you know, ignore all the people in your day-to-day and go sit in front of a computer and talk to those people and think that they're awesome and great. There's a problem with that. One, in that you are, so much of growing up is a process of like wearing down your edges, and you can't do that without kind of colliding with people. And especially helpful in that are people that you don't get along with or that you don't get or don't mesh with. And I really think that as far as opportunities to grow, like you're talking about, you know, hanging out with cool, intelligent friends to bond with, as far as growing as a person, being around awful people is not necessarily a bad thing as far as just sort of a character builder. And also, the thing you have to maybe understand about your internet friends is that you're not seeing the full picture of those people. Like, you don't have to really deal with them in the way, in like real person-to-person, face-to-face, difficult face-to-face relationships, you know? Like, it's harder. When you're just talking to someone on a computer, you take your time, you probably only see the best of them, you can walk away when you want to walk away. You know, it's easy. And it's easy to kind of narrow in and find people that are interested in what you're interested in. But if you, I don't know how to other, I say it in a more salient way than don't be like me. I still struggle with dealing with people. And I think this has a lot to do with it, because rather than learn the ropes of actually interacting and dealing with people on a day-to-day basis, I kind of retreated to the internet and grew up not knowing how to do that. And it's taken me years and years to kind of wear down those edges and get to a point where I can, you know, at least function as a semi-normal human being. But it's hard. So just be a little careful. Micah was talking today even about how she's a little shy, but I think she handles people awesomely. Like, dealing with people is hard. It's always hard. And it's work. But I think it pays off. And I think it gets easier. And I think, you know, weird things will happen sometimes when, you know, for example, like, I'm the guy who sits on the plane and does not want you to talk. Like, don't talk to me. I want you to leave me alone. And I've had a number of times where the talkative, friendly guy who's good at dealing with people will start to talk with me. And I always start off by hating it. But, you know, there's been enough times where it turns out this is an interesting person, or I, you know, the flight goes by faster because we talk, you know, there's benefits to it. And I think if only for just the benefit of your own character, it is good to deal with some difficult people now and then. Mitchell's just nodding sagely.
I'm actually just listening to his good advice.
Yeah, I think it's hard. And I totally get it, because I did the same thing. Like, even before the internet, I was on all these bulletin board systems sending messages. It's just, it's so much easier to, and that's just how people are now. And it's, you know, I am certainly guilty of this, but with the ultimate social crutch now is when you don't know what to say and you don't know what to do and you're put in a situation with somebody, you both pull out your phones. And it's such, like, such a simple, easy escape. And I think it's ruining people's ability to communicate. And it's ruining people's, like, ability to learn from other people and interact with other people. Like, it's tricky. And I don't want to be the guy that's telling you, like, oh, phones are evil and all that. But, man, it's just, it's sad to watch, kind of. Or, you know, if you're at a bar at a party and you look around at how many people just pulled out their phone because they don't know what to say. And it's because they haven't leveled up enough in social interaction to breach that. And I got, you know, I feel like going to school helped a lot, like just dealing with people in classes, but also presenting. I feel like some of the stuff I've done for work where I had to, like, you know, even though if it was kind of schmoozy and stupid, I at least got to where I could talk to somebody. And that's not a bad skill to have, to just be able to talk to any person who's thrown up against you. So one, I would say you're going to get out of there. You're going to find cool people. You're going to be disappointed when you move to the place that you think everyone's cool and they're not all that cool. But two, just watch yourself. Go talk to some military manual labor dudes. I'm kind of jealous of manual laborers because I sort of want to work outside all day and stand on the corner outside of Home Depot. It seems pretty awesome. That was kind of a rant. Mitchell, do you have anything to add to this person, this superior person?
Chill out.
Chill out a little bit. It is a dangerous thing to walk around thinking you're better than everybody too. Like, that is an easy way to have everyone around you think that you're a pompous jerk.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not saying you're a pompous jerk, but just be careful, because if you cultivate that air, it will probably happen. What is next?
Oh, man. A couple of years ago, I met this girl and she was kind of cute, but kind of fat. We kept in touch over the internet. From the pictures she posted, it looked like she was losing weight and getting really pretty. Then I finally got the chance to meet her.
In real life.
I'm sorry, I don't know this, like,
this lingo. Internet lingo. Yeah. I know these kids today.
But she was even bigger than before, and I felt really uncomfortable because of all the flirting I had been doing earlier, because I was interested in her, and I never told anybody about it. I think it's bad to post misleading pictures on the internet that make you look way hella ton thinner than you really are. Oh, well.
This is tricky, because not everybody out there is a Micah Paredes. Not everybody can just throw up any old picture on Facebook and have scores of people masturbating to it. Have you ever dealt with anything like this, Micah? Have you ever been deluded by an image, or not even deluded, like misled? Have you ever?
Oh, you know, sort of, kind of.
You don't deal with these jokers. Micah is a real person and meets people in real life. It's She's true. Not an internet loser.
However,
I know lots of people that have dealt with this, though, that have gone on these OkCupid dates.
That's what gets you. I was about to talk about it. Yeah, you just were telling me about that, that you saw or somebody saw one of your friends on a date with a really fat girl.
With a really fat girl. And my friend is an attractive guy and very, very polite and super nice. And just, you know, he met this woman who was putting misleading photos on her OkCupid page, and he met up with her, and he's a small guy. He's a very small guy, but super cute, and she was basically, as he described to me in the most diplomatic way it's possible, as a built like a linebacker.
That's a strong, she's a strong woman.
Yeah, but you also say that big girls always know how to dance. So
that's because they have to. Like they big girls have to, they have to have a good personality. And I've gone on record saying that there's almost nothing better than a girl that was fat in high school who couldn't get by in her looks, had to develop a good personality, and then later, or fat or had braces or whatever, yeah. Like wasn't beautiful in high school. Girls who are beautiful in high school do not have to have a personality. Okay, I've got three things on this. Okay. One is that, yes, I have been on OkCupid dates because I'm an internet dork. I have not, I really tapered off of those
you
pretty quick.
You took me on one of your OkCupid dates.
That is a little bit true. That was, okay, there was a point in OkCupid where I changed it and I said, I'm just looking for people to hang out with, looking for friends, not looking for mates, all that. So I did meet like 2 days after I came down here,
yeah.
I did meet up with a girl who was a cool gal, and we went and had dinner and saw Don Hertzfeld, and it was amazing. And she's a cool gal, and I still hang out with her now and then, but no, you know, it's not a...
You took some extra weight.
Not some romance. No, and she was well represented by her pictures, which is a plus.
Yes, that's true.
There have been some ladies when I first was getting on and trying to go on dates every couple weeks. Not so much. Lady, and that's a tricky thing. Like, you get the right angle, or you get the right lip pucker, you can't tell how heavy a girl is. But it sometimes goes beyond that. And there are two things that have happened to me with deceitful pictures that were getting real weird. So okay. One girl, I talked to an OkCupid, and she was beautiful. She looked like some beautiful Slavic princess, and she was so like cute and lovely. And she wrote me, and we were writing back and forth for a while, and she was seemed like really nice and really interesting. And I was like, wow, she's quite a bit younger than me, but 22 or something like that, but quite a bit younger than me. But we were talking for a while, and it got to the point that I was like, even thinking like, man, maybe we should hang out. And then radio silence, don't hear from her at all, nothing. And then total fluke. One day I was on DeviantArt, just going through, like, looking at the daily deviations of the new uploads, and I see a picture of a girl that looks a lot like her. And I was like, oh, that's weird. That girl looks just like the one I was talking to on OkCupid. And then I go look at her like, gallery and look at all of her photos. I was like, man, that's crazy. This 13-year-old girl from Russia looks almost just like this girl that I was talking to. And then it starts to, like, really dawn on me. And then I start to... I go a little further back in her photography and find the pictures that were on this profile. And yikes. So basically I had been talking to someone that was masquerading as this, early 20s girl in Seattle, using the photos of a 13 or 14 year old girl, Russian girl.
Wow.
Real weird, real creepy. So that was one. And then something else happened last week. Someone wrote me on OkCupid saying that somebody else was using my pictures and that they were listed as Portland 28 bisexual, but everything else was my photos, my profile, everything. So there was someone masquerading as me on OkCupid.
I have a secret to tell you.
What is the secret? Mitchell, was that
you?
Yeah,
it was me.
I
no.
knew it. I should have done. It is hard. Back to the sitch here. It's tough. You got to get through dinner. This sounds like it's not just a one time. Like, I've had dinners that were like, okay, I'll talk to you later. And then you just don't talk to the person again. This sounds like you've been in contact for a while and it's going to be hard, hard to break. And man, it's tough if you've been flirting with her. And then now you can't just casually say, that's when I thought you were thin. But now that you're fat, all flirting retracted, or the flirting was directed at thin you. So...
Yeah, because was she misrepresenting herself?
Yeah, it sounds like she was sending pictures that made her look thin intentionally. So, man, I don't know. That's tough. That's going to be an internet thing. That's the internet. Dang it. internet.
No, but you can like meet someone that's like super foxy and then like hang out with them and then be horrible. So like, I don't think that you should discourage the internet dating thing.
I think you should go back to the other guy. Meet some people in real life.
Oh yeah.
That way, yeah. Here's the kicker. You get to know exactly what they look like and what their personality is like on the spot.
True. That is true.
But you can't, you know, just shop and stalk through 4,000 people and rate all their pictures like I've done. which is all I do. That's the only sport I have on OkCupid is to just go rate 2 stars on basically everybody. I'm slowly cataloging.
I want to start an OkCupid.
Just for kicks?
Just to see.
Oh, you will get miracle emails. Okay. Okay. We need to make you an OkCupid account.
I'm so interested.
And we need to see what kind of creepers write you. Hopefully someone using my photos.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, that's okay. Show mission. And if you're out there listening and you haven't totally tapped yourself out masturbating to pictures of Micah on Facebook, there's going to be some on OkCupid too, and you can then send her a creepy email. So we'll get that all set up, and you guys enjoy. What is next, Mitchell?
Okay. I'm a girl. I like watching porn when I masturbate, but I don't want to see a close-up of the chick's asshole. That never fails to get me out of the mood, and then I can't finish.
That's a tough one.
Man, maybe she should just watch. Well, that's a lot of
asshole. It's always there.
It's going to be in there.
It's always in there. Okay, there are things like this in porn. I think even when I showed you this, you talked about it as like the dude's face. Like,
yeah,
there's things you don't want
to
see. Yeah, like, but you know, with there's certainly I think a genre of pornography in which the dude's face is never shown. So maybe there's some like super exclusive weird fetish site that's just all about never showing the anus.
There's probably
got to be out there. I think it's tough. It's a little tricky. It's almost like a reverse drinking game. Like, you know, like, or like reverse bingo or something like that. Like, it's something you get points if you don't see it. And I don't know, maybe there's some kind of advanced face tracking technology or some kind of amazing software that could help you out with this. But I think, man, it's tough.
It seems kind of hard, like, you know, getting the camera right there when things are going on, because those two areas aren't like...
They're not super, yeah.
They're not far apart.
It's tricky. Maybe you could find like an eye patch or something that you just slap with like a pasty that you just stick right on it and cover it up. I think you should turn it around. And here's how you're going to do it. You're going to make this into a game where you have to masturbate as fast as you can before one pops up. And like, it's like a reset thing. Like, as soon as one pops up, you're like, oh, you got to slow down and you got to start the slow build again. And I'm guessing that it's kind of hurt, you know, turned into that thing too. Micah, do you have anything, not even necessarily like, you know, super sexual or in masturbation or anything, do you have anything that you just see in life that's just an instant turn off to you? Like anything like that, just whatever it is. I know today I learned that you do not like redheads.
Yeah, gingers, there's something really scary about them. Also, neck tattoos.
Neck tattoos.
I don't like it. It is a deal breaker.
So, Micah, I bought a tattoo for you. What was that, last week?
Yeah.
And I bought, and you, okay, Micah, you have tattoos all over you.
I do.
And
I don't have them on my neck.
Not
and
on
neither
neck.
Does my boyfriend, so.
And he's also got a lot of tattoos.
He's
and
got
he's
a lot
sleeping
of
in the corner. He just woke up and smiled. Shh, don't wake up, Phil. Everybody be really quiet at home. Okay, so maybe we should take this, just a quick little segue here, little tangent, and talk about Micah's tattoos.
Okay.
Because they are all over. They're very sparse, though. It's not like dense sleeves, anything like that. There's a lot of real gems. And I think they fall into a couple categories. I think the main category is the like the shout-out tattoo, right?
Yeah, I have a lot of my friends' names.
So you've got like JT, Sebo on your butt. You have the Traxel brothers.
My friend Tony's dear friend I have, and his brother Adam. Great people. I have their last name. It says Traxel Bros on my butt.
On her butt. On the wrist, Sebo.
Sebo, JT.
Do you have any other people?
I have Shatner.
The most important one of all is her right forearm. Is that correct?
That's correct.
There's a tattoo that says Shatner in a beautiful script. So that's the one category. Then there's the, I don't know what to call it, maybe like the non sequitur category? What is, well, you got the area code one. What category is that? Like 80666?
Yeah,
that right?
I have that.
There's a non sequitur category, and it's tricky to pick a favorite. There's one tattoo on Micah's inner thigh. Do you want to tell them what it says on your inner thigh?
It says in almost an airbrush style, like you might find on a lowrider truck.
Or a flea market t-shirt.
Exactly. It says God's country.
It says God's country on her inner thigh. And it's a big tattoo. It's real big. So, and while Micah and I were walking, we were walking along last week and Micah wanted to get a tattoo. And she was cracking herself up thinking it would be real funny to get a yin-yang on her ankle. And then we just started talking about it. And the first parlor we went to couldn't get us. And then as we walked to the other one, she started to think it'd be real funny to get a weed leaf tattoo behind the yin yang. And then I put in my two cents and said, you know, it can't just come in twos. You got to go in threes. And so then she said she wanted to put her last name under it in Old English. And then I said she should just misspell her name. And then she said she's going to get paradise. So Micah has a tattoo on her calf.
It's on my right ankle.
Right ankle.
Yeah.
That is a yin-yang with a green weed leaf behind it. And underneath it, it says paradise. It's
beautiful.
It's a beautiful tattoo. So that is an example of a thing that is a turn on. And that is a thing that probably, if anyone saw, would immediately be aroused.
If I saw that in porn, I would lose it.
Instant turn on. So, yeah, I don't know if there's things. I mean, you know, there's, for me, it's just things that are difficult. I guess with porn, it's things that make it difficult to suspend disbelief. I think my preference is, yeah, where the guy's presence is just, he's just contributing some hardware. He's not an actor in this film, in this scene that's come together. I don't know if there's, I mean, you know, I've gone on record as saying that short hair won't hurt you. You know, tall, cute butt, things like that. I don't know if I have, those are yeses. I don't know if I have just flat out no's that are just straight up deal breakers. I don't know. Like if I just saw or just instant turn off, I'll be on the lookout for that. Maybe we'll give you a little update. So what for you, do you have anything that's an instant turn on?
Me?
Yeah. So aside from the absence of neck tattoos, is there something that you just see? I know that in the past it would have been if the guy's a douchebag. Because that is, I don't think there's anything, you know, going by track record that Micah finds more attractive than a good total douchebag. But is there anything
else? I had like a standard for a little while that was doing me wrong. Usually a musician.
Yeah, the worst person you could find.
Yeah, in a really bad band. And usually had glasses and tattoos. It was kind of...
So every...
But my mom couldn't even tell them apart.
Every guy in Portland. Yeah. It's not... It's truly... I met one of these guys last year at this place here called Holocene. And there were like 11 of him. I thought it was like some sort of weird trick where everybody had dressed up or like a costume night. But everywhere I looked was this guy. There was at least 20 of them.
True.
It was ridiculous.
But that I'm past that. I've grown out of that phase.
Phil over there. He's a good looking guy.
Yeah, he's all...
No neck tattoos, not a douchebag. Yeah. That does not help you with this anus problem.
No.
And I don't know what I can do to help you other than maybe... if it comes on screen, just put your thumb over it or something. Just like stick your thumb up there or like, you know, block it with your eye, like the I'm crushing your head thing. Like just try to block it out. Or maybe there's a very specific.
Maybe learn to love it.
Maybe learn to love it. Maybe go for a while that's masturbating to porn that is only about anal. Yeah, maybe gaping, I think, is a genre. Maybe you should look into gaping. In fact, maybe it could be like, you know, those things, if you're scared of spiders, they have that desensitization.
Exactly.
Desensitization, whatever it's called, where you're exposed to spiders and that's how you get over your phobia. Maybe you have some sort of like female anal phobia and you just need to see some gape and you need to just get in there deep with the camera. And I think maybe if you see that, that'll help you get past this.
Hypnotherapy?
Maybe hypnotherapy. Oh, yeah. Go to a hypnotherapist and tell them that you want to be hypnotized into loving the sight of a girl's anus. And I'm sure that will be fun.
Great advice.
What is next?
I don't sweat very often, and I manage to keep myself pretty clean, so I only take showers like once a week, but I haven't told anyone because they may think that I'm a dirty bum. I love this one.
Okay, do you want to talk about why you love this one?
Well, I'm sorry. I don't think that you're a dirty bum, whoever you are. And
Maiko, do you want to just come out and say how often you wash your hair?
I last year washed my hair once.
The whole year. Whether you need it or not. One hair wash a year. One whole year.
The thing is that I have a lot of hair. It's a complicated story.
But it looks good.
I keep it up all the time. It doesn't look dirty. It doesn't really smell. I don't know. It probably smells.
It just smells like you.
And yeah, Scott just sniffed me.
I did the sniff test and she passed.
But
how many months since you washed your hair?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. It's been like five months now. It's not that I don't, like, I'll get it wet, but sometimes I don't even get it wet. I just put it in a shower cap.
You got that cool shower cap in there.
Yeah, I've seen my shower cap.
And how
so
often?
So I get it.
Do you take a shower every day?
Yes, I take like two showers a day sometimes.
So that's, okay, here's the, I know you don't want people to think
but
that you're
a
dirty
week?
Bum. Well, you're a dirty bum. You are filthy. Are you kidding me? Once a week? What are you, an animal?
Here, I don't know. Like, where do you not? Do you live in a hostel?
You don't have to tell them because they know. I promise you. If you're walking around thinking, oh, I don't want anyone to know that I haven't had a shower in a week.
I mean, do you
trust
think it takes,
me?
Like a
know.
Horse bath? Maybe?
They know. Maybe splashes a little water in there.
Yeah.
Listen, there's no hard fast rules for this. I feel like a shower for me is only half about getting clean and half about getting going. You know, like I need a little kickstart in the morning, and that's half of what a shower is about. It's just the cleaning is almost just sort of circumstantial. But you know, I think the Western obsession with cleanliness and soaps and tinctures and creams and shampoos and conditioners and all that is excessive, and a lot of it is just to sell that nonsense. I don't think you need to worry about it too much. The thing to keep in mind is, if you do smell bad, it's going to be hard for you to know, and it's going to be impossible for anyone to tell you. No one's going to tell you that. Like, that's the worst thing, having to tell someone they smell bad. So going a week is a bit much, because whatever you're doing, your body's putting out something.
Yeah.
Like, especially in some certain regions.
I mean,
like,
do you think they have a partner or
yeah,
a job?
I don't. Right. Yeah. Anything that you're in close quarters with people. I don't know. I feel like a week without a shower, even if you're not doing any kind of strenuous activity is pushing it. If you've got a friend that you know will just like cold cock straight, give it to you, tell you, look you in the eye and tell you stink, maybe you need to ask that person,
yeah,
like, tell me the truth. Do I stink 6 out of 7 days of the week? Because otherwise you're not going to know. I'm sorry to say there's not like a great litmus test. You can't stick some paper under your arm and know.
Yeah.
And even smelling yourself, it's not the same. Because you might be like, it's just a little. That's not, you are no judge of your own stench. So thanks for sharing it. But it's not a secret. I think if you don't take showers, if you go a week without a shower, it's a public fact.
Probably.
Do you have anything else on this stinker?
I don't know. I'm glad my hair doesn't smell. I'm glad you smelled my hair. But
what if, how awkward would it be if this email came in and Micah just stunk to high heavens? Or if I did, what if I just smelled, do I smell bad?
I don't think so. I'll smell like, no, you don't smell like anything.
Thank God. Yeah, I think go wash up, please. Just scrub it up a little bit. Especially, man, if you're expecting any kind of action, especially down south.
No one wants to hang out there.
Nobody wants to go down there because there's stuff churning down there no matter what. Like, you're just kicking out smells and pheromones and you gotta, like, that'll build up quick. So unless you know, maybe if you're dating someone who's lost their sense of smell, you might be okay.
I dated someone that, like, wanted me to smell. And I don't really, I honestly don't smell bad in my armpits for the most part. Like my feet, another story. We don't want to talk about that. But
no one's sucking those toes.
No. But my armpits don't really smell. And the guy wanted me to smell so badly. It didn't, needless to say, it didn't work out. But that's...
I
I get it. I get like that whole thing, but there's a difference between like pheromones and funk.
Yeah, that's true. That's tricky for me because I would way rather smell like a girl's natural smell, especially like armpit or neck or hair, than like fake snow. So like real chemically stuff, I have such little tolerance for. So I can get into that, but I don't think I've ever dated a girl who goes a week without taking a shower. So yeah. I'd probably be singing a different tune. I think, you know, maybe a day, you know,
a week.
Shower in the morning and then at night it's like, all right, there's something there. I can smell that you're a living thing and not, you know, like a bottle of bleach. I can tell you they're a human being. We got only one more question. We're breezing through these. And this one, speaking of going down south.
Okay. Recently, my lady of a dozen years unexpectedly rimmed me during a blowjob. I was not expecting her to do that, and I definitely wasn't expecting to like it. But I did. Don't worry. I had just taken a shower and was super clean. What are your thoughts on rimming? I am a guy, by the way.
You dodged a bullet there by being a clean. I mean, good grief. What if you hadn't? That's not... Oh,
sad story right there.
You know, that's a very personal thing. And I mean, it's a personal preference thing. And that goes for both parties. Like, that's just, there's so much baggage associated with that concept. I think plenty of people are into it and get pleasure out of it. I think plenty of people are into, you know, maybe not even, you know, going full rimming, just, you know, hands and other things. I think, this is pretty funny in that we had an email from like the surprise anal guy who wanted to surprise the girl with anal sex.
That's
and we
my
said,
first
do not surprise
that I heard this kiss.
That was the first episode Micah heard.
It's awesome.
So this is a lady who decided I'm going to surprise this guy, man. And God, that could have gone horribly because what if he like had skipped a shower or if he had a heavy lunch?
Maybe she knew. She probably knew.
Okay. She had it covered. Like maybe she timed it. She was keeping tabs. She's like, all right, he's clean.
Took a shower.
Yeah, man. Whew. I'm glad it went well. I think, you know, the most awesome thing about this, and this in a weird way goes back to that adult relationship thing, mm-hmm. because you found something new that you're both into after a dozen years, which is awesome.
Yeah,
because
this is great.
I feel, okay, I had a relationship with a gal, and for whatever reason, I don't quite understand the mechanics of it, but every time we would sort of break up and come back together, we would discover some new sex thing that we were both into that would keep us going for more time. So, but I remember always thinking like, man, I can't believe we're still coming up with new stuff. That's great. And then, you know, and that's not even to say that it's a bad thing, because I'm sure after a few, you know, after a couple of years, you can be like, oh, remember this throwback, this oldie, this retro move. But man, to discover, that's like just hitting gold.
I think so.
Wild. That's great. I think it's awesome. I'm glad you're into it. I think that the cleanliness is key. I think, gosh, where did I read it? The Straight Dope or one of those sites. I don't even know how I came across it. I think I was just reading people's emails. But one of them was asking about it, like about analingus and about, you know, the health concerns and anything like that. And, you know, there's some health concerns because there's all kinds of crazy bacteria in your gut. But if you're clean, you're probably okay. So I think if you're into it, obviously she's into it if she just went for it. I wonder, and this may not be true at all, but there's a school, and this goes, hey, 15-year-old girl, by the way, here's a pro tip. There is a school of sexual interaction where sometimes when people aren't comfortable telling you what you want, what they want
she
you to do
that.
To them, she wants it. Is
oh,
that,
yeah.
You're going to just come out and say it?
She probably does.
Okay. So that's the thing is like, this is a tip for everybody. If you're not, hopefully your person is, you know, your partner is sensitive and can pick up on this stuff. But if you really want something and you just cannot bring yourself to say it, try doing it to them. And then that'll at least bring it into the reality of your relationship. And then, you know, then the reciprocation becomes a much more likely thing. So just maybe it could be that this is something she wants you to do to her. This might be the girl who sent in that last email. Doesn't seem likely, but I don't know. There's a lot of weird, there's a lot of anal, female anal energy around these emails today. I can't help but pick up on it. So I have to say that this may come with the expectation that you pay her a visit as well. And that's, I think that's all that I can say about it. Other than that, it's awesome. I'm glad you guys found something new after a dozen years. That's amazing. And you know, that kind of that happens too. You know, like, I think plenty of people who've been together for a long time look for ways to spice things up and that. So that's awesome. And I think that's super cool. What do you think, Mitchell?
I like it. I think it's great.
Yeah, way to go, champ. But you gotta pay your dues, it sounds like. So
jazz that ass.
Yeah. So why don't you go pay a visit? So that was our 10 emails.
Wow.
Piece of cake.
I want some cake right now.
Yeah. Mike and I both have a real problem with sweets. We had some peanut butter ice cream, and Mitch had some pie today. I watched her eat it.
It's delicious.
I would have eaten it too, but I didn't want pie. So we made it. We did it. I know it's been a couple weeks, but Mitch is real busy. She's got all this fame and fortune. She works about 68 hours a day. I don't know how she even pulls it off. But there's another problem with Kiss and Tell, other than, you know, the fact that I'm itinerant and that my hosts are busy. It is that we are bone dry on secrets. We are so low. Like, we had to really scrounge together these 10. So if you guys want another episode, I'm so serious. If you want another episode, you got to send in secrets. You got to tweet about it and tell people to send in secrets. You got to Facebook, all that nonsense. And half the thing about it that makes me hate you all is that it's so easy, because I'm going to, like a joker, I'm going to put this on the Kiss and Tell website. I'm going to tweet about it on Twitter. I'm going to put it on Tumblr. I'm going to put it on Facebook. This is the 21st century. All you have to do is push a stupid button. And so go on Facebook, push a button, like Kiss and Tell, like the post about this episode, say, got any secrets? And maybe your friends will post some. Do it on Twitter, do it on Tumblr. Please, honestly, you guys have been awesome. We've had so many secrets and we want to keep it going. So please, please keep them coming. As far as logistics of that nonsense, the website is kissandtellcast.com. If you want to tell a secret, it's just kissandtellcast.com/tell. It couldn't be any easier. Tweet at us at Kiss and Tellcast. Facebook is facebook.com/kissandtellcast. kissandtellcast.tumblr.com. Are you seeing a pattern here? It's so easy. I don't understand what's wrong with you. And that's that. So get in some secrets. Once we get in a batch of 10, maybe I'll do another episode with Mitch. I've talked to Mari about maybe doing a remote episode. We may do an episode with Micah and Tony Traxel, who, as you may remember, is whose name is emblazoned on her butt. And he's a real funny guy.
He actually said, when I got that tattoo, he was really, his first response, he's like, oh, that's just free advertisement.
Yeah, it is. It's good. Maybe, yeah. So please tweet at us, do all that nonsense. You know what to do, everybody. Thanks for listening. Tell all your friends, do all that stuff, and we'll talk to you in some weeks. Bye. And say bye. They can't hear you if you wave. Bye. I want to tell you.